The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability.
Okay, we think this stuff should be obvious. No. We believe that. No. We suggest it is true that all. No. Oh, wait, I've got it. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Ooh, that's good. Honey, I've got it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Coming to you live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning I'll talk with Sean Haney from Real Agriculture. Then it's on to our Farmer Forum with panelists Quentin Bowen from Nebraska and Randy Francis from Iowa. And right after the news, editor of AgPro magazine, Margie Eckelkamp, updates us. It's July 3rd, and on this day in history, Thomas Jefferson was red-penning the Declaration of Independence, a document that has defined our nation, and I hope that you will find a way to celebrate with family and friends, and have a darn good time, dare I say it, tomorrow on Independence Day. Now, just earlier this week on July 1st, and this is somewhat new to me, Canada apparently celebrated some sort of major national holiday as well. We've got Sean Haney coming up. We spoke with Wiesmeyer yesterday. We've got Haney today just to kind of let him talk about the stuff that's on his mind. He's pretty hardcore. He's been in the Canadian ag broadcasting game for 10 years now, at least with Real Agriculture. But I want to find out from him what Canada Day means for the nation and for him personally. And then, of course, as I said, we'll be on to our Farmer Forum with Quentin Bowen and Randy Francis. Looks like the markets are doing okay. Corn staging quite the recovery. July futures up 11 and a quarter to 424 and three quarters. The D's up at 4 3/4. That's up 8.5. Beans, a little better than a nickel higher in most contracts. Meal and oil both higher. Wheat's following corn and beans to the upside. What about the livestock here? Oh, yeah. See, now here we go. We've talked about this before. Brian Grady brought it up. Corn goes up. Feeder cattle kind of have a tendency to move in the opposite direction. Most contracts there down about $1.30 so far this morning. Live cattle up a few, and lean hogs mixed. Nearby's higher. Back month contracts a little bit lower. We would love it if you would join the conversation as well. 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5522. Or, if you prefer, you can tweet at us. Hashtag your tweet, AgriTalk, and hopefully I'll see it. But, you know, as has been the case this week, your pal Davis Michelson here in for the vacationing Chip Flory. I'm a one-man show behind the big leafy green microphone, so I'll do what I can. And if I don't get to it, maybe I'll find it, and then we can talk about it this afternoon. So before we get to all that, let's get to this morning's news where the European Union says it is ready to talk after the Trump administration threatened $4 billion in tariffs on EU trade goods. This as part of a now 14-year dispute with the EU over aircraft subsidies. The list of products up for sanction include meat, cheese, and Scotch whiskey, as well as some metals. The European Union has readied a list of retaliatory tariffs if resolution is not reached in a timely fashion. Now, in a somewhat related story, as Iran continues to defy the 2015 nuclear deal, which limited the country's nuclear aspirations, tensions with the White House continue to rise. Tehran said it has now exceeded the limits of enriched uranium specified by the 2015 agreement and will continue to enrich uranium despite U.S. sanctions. In response to scorn from the White House, Tehran has begun applying pressure to the European Union to help fill the gap left by U.S. economic and trade sanctions. Now, on the subject of trade, at the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan last weekend, China said it would make immediate and substantial purchases of U.S. ag goods. We've heard this before. Sources report if the purchases are made by China, the goods will go into the country's strategic reserves. China has suggested it will make large ag purchases from the U.S. a number of times in the past months, and Pro Farmer's Jim Wiesmeyer said in a piece for Pro Farmer, he believes traders will remain wary, writing, quote, several past reports of major Chinese purchases were not realized, and this is why traders will likely be cautious about the most recent reporting and conjecture on this topic. Meanwhile, some sources signal a list that Trump's team will provide China will include commodities besides soybeans, corn, and pork, such as wine, nuts, dairy, poultry, ethanol, and other commodities. Quantities and time frames have yet to be announced. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement is progressing through Congress, according to Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Trump administration leaders and Democratic congressional legislators are finding their way toward a final draft. Grassley told a source, quote, while progress is slow, Democrats are warming to the idea of adding side agreements to the trade deal, something they had resisted previously. Now, when asked about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's current stance, Grassley remarked, quote, I think she is committed to getting to yes, but she has so many new members, she has to make them comfortable with it. And a lot of these new members on the Democrat side are a little on the younger side, and maybe that being the case, are a little idealistic and maybe holding out for some unrealistic expectations. But it does seem like Speaker Pelosi and the Republicans are getting along and moving toward an agreement that, at least according to Senator Chuck Grassley. And finally, the Environmental Protection Agency is expected to release details of RFS volume requirements for 2020 biofuel and 2021 biodiesel proposed levels. The proposal, dubbed a reset plan, remains under review with the Office of Management and Budget, but a source noted the EPA is known for making such announcements just ahead of the July 4 holiday. That's kind of what's going on today. It's a brief overview. Now let's turn our attention to Margie Eckelkamp, Ag Pro Editor. Margie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Davis, good morning. Calling in to talk about some of our agronomic things to keep top of mind this year.
Outstanding, yes. And I understand you've got a poll going over there at agprofessional.com about the number one threat to yield this year. What you got?
Yeah, just trying to assess where folks see some challenges, and right now it's about 80% of respondents say that it's going to be late planting and delayed maturity as the number one yield threat this year. Now, for corn and soybeans, that could mean that those crops are going to be just at the wrong growth stages to be exposed at the highest spore count. So that late crop could amplify into another issue, which could be high disease pressures. I know there's a lot of retailers, crop consultants, crop scouts out in the fields now. You know, the disease triangle has not changed. You have to have the host, the pathogen, and the environment. And 2019 might turn out to be a perfect storm. So, you know, everybody should be on the lookout for disease pressures, documenting them very well, because it could help you pull the trigger on making a fungicide application this year, but also could help you assess threats for next year.
Okay. You're talking about the disease triangle, host, pathogen, and environment. So is the idea to break that triangle or maybe to pull one of the legs out from underneath of it?
Well, it's to be aware that you have to have all things present to have a disease outbreak. And it's really this year, it seems like all three of those things are kind of on heightened alert,
right?
Because we have a presence for, like I said, that crop being at just the wrong growth stages and high spore counts out there.
Yep. All right, Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Ag Pro Magazine, thanks for spending some time today.
Thanks, Davis. Happy 4th.
You bet. Happy 4th to you as well. Thanks for tuning in to AgriTalk, everyone. We'll be right back after these words. I'm Davis Michelson, and we're going to talk with Real Agriculture's Sean Haney about what the heck is going on up north right after this.
With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about preseason planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Dicon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Dicon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
This is Dave Robbins reporting from what can only be described as a cornfield under attack. With me is Jim Stafford, a local corn grower. Jim, what's happening here?
Mites, banks, two-spotted and carmine, you name it. This corn is under attack.
What are the plans, if any, to deal with this serious situation?
Well, we're not going to stand for it. We're going to fight the mite.
How?
ZLSC Miticide. Just one application by Grounder Air gives long-lasting mite control. Now that field corn, popcorn, corn for seed, and corn grown for silage are all labeled, mites don't stand a chance.
But what about their eggs?
ZLSC affects mites in all stages, even eggs.
What kind of timetable are we talking about?
ZLSC reaches mites under the leaf where they feed and hide with translaminar activity. For long-lasting protection after a single application, apply ZLSC at early threshold or as a preventative treatment.
ZLSC. It lasts so mites can't. Contact your local Valent representative or Valent authorized retailer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Well, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, in for the vacationing Chip Flory. Chip will be back next week, beginning first thing Monday morning. In the meantime, my first guest this morning. I'm thrilled. He's a panelist on our weekly Friday free-for-all and a heck of a good guy from Real Agriculture. Join me in welcoming Mr. Sean Haney. Sean, welcome to AgriTalk, buddy.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be here, man. I was waiting for like the applause, but it's I guess you just didn't have that sound effect ready.
That button is broken. Yeah, it's broken. I wore it out on myself, actually, is what happened.
Yeah, doing the test. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Now, dude, I know there are a number of issues that you are following, and I want to give you some time to riff on those in a moment. But as we here in the U.S. gear up for Independence Day, I would love it if you could enlighten us about a special day in the lives of Canadians, July 1, a national holiday for your great nation, and I have to admit, shamefully so, I don't know much about it. So could you please fill us in on what the day celebrates, how Canadians rock it on July 1st, buddy?
Well, you know, Davis, it's quite similar to July 4th, maybe a little less fireworks, but we do that as well. But you know, it goes back to, it's a national holiday celebrating the anniversary of Confederation of Canada, which actually happened in 1867. So what at that time, Canada basically separated itself from Britain, but remained a member of the monarchy, I guess, so to speak. It actually originally was called Dominion Day. Hmm. And I believe that changed in the early 80s to Canada Day to describe a little bit more accurately what we were celebrating. So, you know, just like July 4th, you just rock it with family and go to some parades and fire off some fireworks and have maybe some cold ones.
That sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of Nickelback and walleye is what I'm envisioning. Is that is that a little too stereotypical?
Well, you forgot maple syrup and maybe the seal hunt. I don't know.
Well, very good. Very good. Did you have a good time? Do you enjoy it?
You know, to be honest with you, I Canada Day, I was actually in the U.S. A work trip. So it was, I was actually looking forward. I was supposed to be going to a baseball tournament today for my son. I was going to be in Helena, Montana, but my wife is going to go now and I got to stay home with our other son for another baseball tournament. So I don't get July 1st in Canada. I'm not going to get July 4th in the U.S. So I kind of missed out this year.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. Well, let's move on to some of the issues on your mind. You're with Real Agriculture. You watch all this stuff very, very closely. One of the things that we're talking about, and I reported in the news that the U.S. feels like it's getting close on USMCA. Where is Canada on USMCA?
Yeah, not much has changed. They're kind of waiting for the U.S. to figure things out. Originally, there was a bit of a push here to forge ahead with the ratification before the U.S., but it seems kind of in the last 3 weeks or so, Canada really, they're sort of stalled out waiting for the U.S. ratification to go ahead. And they want to do it at the same time. Okay. The Prime Minister has said that he will, because our Parliament has risen for the summer already. Okay. But he did say that he would call Parliament back for a special sitting to do the approval of the USMCA ratification. So all eyes still on Congress to sort this out. And encouraging news this week. It seems like things are moving along slowly, but surely.
Yes, absolutely. The press almost kind of paints a bit of a bromance between President Trump and Justin Trudeau. Is that the way you see it from your perspective?
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of the relationships that President Trump has with a lot of the world leaders, where it's like super cozy when it, you know, there's the photo op and it looks good. And there's a lot of tension when that serves him well at the time. You know, this has been a rocky relationship. I've said since the beginning that these are two people that are very similar, right? They grew up in relatively well-off situations.
Right.
Their sort of political views have sort of go with the wind at times. Both sort of strive to be accepted into a larger community of people who have been doing this for a living. Trudeau, of course, his father was the Prime Minister of Canada, so he kind of carries that name. Huh. And we all know the Trump name is a very, very strong media brand as well.
Right.
So they're very similar. I've never really believed, you know, in the dark days of the time that President Trump was in Quebec, and remember he got in the helicopter and he wouldn't sign the communique. And Prime Minister Trudeau was untrustworthy, and the nerve of him, and it's for show. They clearly do have some common ground. We saw that when Prime Minister Trudeau was in Washington just a few weeks ago before the G20.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about that G20. There was a lot of talk about President Trump meeting with Xi Jinping resulted in Trump swinging over by North Korea on his way back. What was Canada's takeaway from the G20? What was their role there? What have you got to report on that?
It's sort of bystanders that I don't know. It was a tough ask going into the meeting. You'll remember that what happened there was Prime Minister Trudeau had asked President Trump to bring up this whole detained Canadian situation to President Xi of China. There's mixed reports on whether or not President Trump did that or not. The Trudeau yesterday said that he believes it did happen. The White House has not confirmed that. Whether or not it happened or it didn't happen, it was a pretty tall ask from a Canadian perspective. As I, you know, the video was going around Twitter. It was going viral of where Trudeau and Xi were sitting side by side, basically due to alphabetical order around a table. And you could see it was a little bit frosty. There was a... there was no pleasantries exchange. Let's just say that.
Okay.
This whole issue between Canada and China is not going to get solved anytime soon. Right. And a lot of it honestly relies on whether or not the U.S. sorts out its issues with China first.
Yeah, well, and we had Mike Jubenville on late in April, I believe it was, who threw out the phrase, kill the chicken to scare the monkey. And in that case, he was holding up Canada as the chicken and the U.S. as the monkey. And almost presenting Canada as something of a whipping boy in the negotiations with China. Update us on the current status of Canadian trade relations with China, if you would, please.
If you look at all the egg commodities, the only thing really celebrating some success getting into China right now is wheat and barley. And the wheat is moving into China. U.S. wheat is not. So Canadian wheat kind of celebrating that a little bit. But if you look at everything else across the board, canola, pork, beef, it's really been it's been a struggle. And Mike Jubenville is very correct in the sense that I cringe every time I hear about a trade truce between the U.S. and China a little bit. Because when they say trade truce, what that really means is China's going to punish Canada more. They seem to feel that they're going to get to the U.S. by punishing Canada. And I'm not too sure about that strategy at all. Canada very much caught in the middle of all that. And that all goes back to the Huawei situation. And I was a little bit disappointed that the president maybe eased up on some of those sanctions.
I was too,
on
bro.
Huawei.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I don't like it. You can't have it both ways. You can't talk about how this is a national security threat. It is a real threat to our existence as a North American continent. And then be okay with everybody selling components to them. It's either one or the other, I think. And there was a big article in the Globe and Mail up here in Canada over the weekend where the Huawei CEO, the founder, was talking about how Canada really has a choice. They can accept Huawei and all the 5G technology that it brings, and it would really allow Canada to leapfrog economically countries like the United States. So China continuing to passively, aggressively, and a little bit more directly over time push that, you know, Canada, you need to side with China. Canada has very rightly so up until this point, and I think will continue to do so, choosing the United States as its reliable ally this whole battle. Canada is going to decide, I believe in August, whether or not they're going to accept Huawei or not. But the president, I think, should have held a bit more firm on that one.
Well, and I guess I got to wonder, does a ratified U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement help soothe that situation for Canada, or does it maybe exacerbate the problems with China?
I think they need, with the USMCA ratification, Davis, I think ideally what we'd like to see is where we do move forward North American strong. The problem is that right now it's pretty good politics for the president to rail against Mexico and the immigration issue. And so that is always going to be there in the background, kind of creating some doubt that we are actually going to move forward as a sort of a three-way team in combating China. And you said in the news, these new tariffs potentially on Europe. Europe's another partner that we need to be working with in order to keep China in line.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, we're running short on time. Thanks for being with us, Sean Haney. Always a treat to speak with you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Davis. And everybody, have a great July 4th and celebrate hard.
That's Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and frequent Friday Free for All panelist. We'll be right back with our Farmer Forum right after this.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams. creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining me now, Brian Grady from Pro Farmer. Brian, look at corn futures go this morning. What is happening?
Yeah, look at that corn market go, Dave.
Yeah.
We held support earlier. We talked about earlier in the week, December corn futures held that 420 level. Yep. And that's the bottom of the May 28th gap. It also happens to be the 50-day moving average falls in there as well. And so that was key support. And with it holding, we're seeing a return of buyers here as we head into the 4th of July holiday.
All right. What impact does the long weekend maybe have on trade here for corn? Or I guess the interrupted week, you might say.
Right, interrupted because we are open on Friday. For many traders, this might be the last day of the week for them. So, wanting to even up positions and stuff like that. So, big down move last Friday, obviously, was followed through on Monday. And now we're recouping some of that here. I think typically going into the 4th of July weekend or 4th of July, you look at weather. And that's probably going to be the case this year. It isn't going to have the same implications on pollination that it normally would have within the next 10 days or so. But weather is still going to be the critical factor, I think.
Well, and are feeder cattle seeing the strength of the corn market and falling back a little bit as a result?
No doubt. We're under heavy pressure in the feeder cattle market because of the strong gains in the corn market. And we've talked about it, but those two markets are pretty much tied together. So if corn goes up, feeders go down, and vice versa. And that's the case this morning so far.
Absolutely. Brian Grady, thanks a whole lot. We got live cattle just a little higher, lean hogs mixed. That's Brian Grady from Pro Farmer on Markets Now.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Nice to get an update from Sean Haney there, and nice to see some green on the screen in the corn market. Coming up ahead of July 4. And as Brian Grady pointed out, it's pretty highly possible that some of these traders are just going to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm taking the 5th too. I know a beloved radio personality that's doing that as well. I'm in for Chip Flory this week. He will be back next week. I'd like to bring in our panelists now. Let's start with Quentin Bowen from the Gateway to the West, Nebraska. Quentin, how are things out in Nebraska today, sir?
They're warm.
How are you doing, Davis?
I'm a little warm myself. I have to admit I turned up my thermostat here at the Sparkle City Studios today, and I'm glad I did.
Well, good, good. You know, I got to say, it always amazes me that I think this is the third or fourth time I've had the opportunity to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley just kind of calls up and says, here you go. And there's no, I mean, you really give an untrained person such as myself a real opportunity to make a fool of myself.
Well, we'll try and keep you out of deep water if we can, buddy boy. No worries. Don't worry about it. And I've also got from Iowa, Randy Francis. Randy, I imagine it's a little warm over where you're at as well.
Yes, sir, Davis, it is.
Yep. What sort of conditions? I guess I don't know if I want to dive right into this or not. You can tell I'm hesitant here, but there's been a lot of talk about acreage and crop potential. Can you give us a brief overview, Randy, of what you're seeing in your area from your view?
Yeah, we kind of go back to the start of spring. You know, we faced the wet weather, but we had a gap to put on anhydrous, and you know, planting pace got started off at a pretty normal pace around the 18th, 20th of April, and then kind of into the first week of May, we had pretty good luck, and then we were probably three quarters done, and then it started to get kind of a little wet, and you know, the last 25% maybe was put in at some marginal conditions. You know, maybe we were a day too early on it. And you know, with all of that being said, we look relatively pretty good here. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. we're behind on heat units. I took a picture actually with my son. My son was turned 1 year on June 23rd, and we brought him home from the hospital a year ago. And we took a picture leaving the hospital, and the corn was over my head holding him. Mm-hmm. And this year, on the same day, we went and took the same picture. And, you know, it was just about waist high. And that crop was actually planted within about a day period. Wow. So we're that far behind on heat units from the same planting date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Quentin, I remember from last year about this time, some of the corn in at least my area here in central Iowa was already starting to tassel just a little bit and show some real signs of some excellent progress. What's your experience with the corn crop over there in Nebraska right now?
Kind of the same as Randy. I mean, we had last year on June 27th, we had corn in full tassel and was starting to pollinate. And the corn that the 3 days that we were able to plant in April, mm-hmm. that corn now is probably 10 days from tasseling, I'd say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And our latest corn is at V5, V6. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed.
Right. So even your early stuff is just a little bit behind the curve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything's behind the curve. And you know, I think we planted 3 days in April, 3 or 4 days in the third or fourth week of May. And the rest of the stuff was just pretty much wrapped up in June, the first 2 weeks of June. And mm-hmm. that was the fun we had this year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fun is one word for it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I have it in my notes here that the both of you are into pork production. Is that correct?
I try.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Quentin, I'm curious about the impact of African swine fever. It's just running rampant through parts of Asia. A report came out earlier this week that losses in China may be double what were reported. You know, surprise, surprise, we get numbers we can't trust out of China. We've seen that before. But if the numbers are truly double, that's a cull on a massive scale. I wonder what influence, Quentin, that's had on pork production in your area. Are we pedal to the metal to produce as much as we can? What's the thought currently?
Well, I had a gentleman I talked to the other day that raises a lot of hogs, and he told me that he didn't know. He said we either had way too much pork or not enough, depending on mm-hmm. how things go here with trade with China. But I read an article this morning that Great Britain is the country that's actually capitalizing on China's hog problems and, mm-hmm. and all the coals. Europe is sliding in there while we're kind of and I myself, I'm a small producer, and I'm part of a group. There's 60 of us in the group. It's called Berkwood Farms. Mm-hmm. It's based out of Des Moines, Iowa. But you know, we sell purebred Berkshires. It's a specialty product with a specialty niche market. Mm-hmm. And you know, we target high-end restaurants and just people that are looking for that type of product.
Sure.
And you'd think our group just kind of we manage our supply and demand within ourselves. We have three or four people in the office, a CEO. They're all pretty Nick Jones. We're pretty lucky. They do an excellent job moving this product and marketing it. And you'd think we would be insulated. But like he was just telling me yesterday,
yeah,
pigs feet. This country sends all kinds of pigs feet to China,
huh.
And we're not sending it now. And it's he called a guy he usually tries to move some pigs feet to out in California, and he said he's swimming in pigs feet. He doesn't know. So you know that's a part of the hog that you don't think mm-hmm. about at mm-hmm. all. That you know we're just going to have to throw away because. You know, I mean, you can't pay cold storage on hog's feet, I wouldn't
right.
think.
Right. So, is there, and I don't know, maybe this is a question that you don't know the answer to. I certainly don't. But what else? I mean, I know pickled pig's feet. I've seen them in the jars. What else can you do with pig's feet?
I don't know. I've seen yeah. pickled pig's feet, too, and just kind of pointed at it and said,
yeah.
and walked on by. So
right.
I don't even know what it tastes like, I guess. But
Randy Francis, have you ever tried? No, go on, Quentin.
No, I was just going to say we use the whole animal, mm-hmm. everybody does, and there's a place for it somewhere, I guess.
Sure, sure. You bet. Randy Francis, have you ever tried pickled pig's feet?
No, I have not, but I did try a Berkwood Farms tenderloin at the Iowa Cubs game on last Friday night.
Ho, so, ho.
Well
yeah.
done, Quentin. So they definitely hit that market well and at Des Moines at
well,
the
there
stadium
you go. Thank
there,
you. So. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yep, it was very good. You know, right now, U.S., we had the supply and demand report coming from the hogs last week. We've seen a 10% increase in supply that we need to mm-hmm. keep working through. Mm-hmm. One thing we need to remember on all of this, all the focus is on China. We need to keep working with our neighbor to the south.
Yes.
The USMCA is very important. You know, while China could potentially be a large player in the future as their middle class demands more protein, right now Mexico is our number one trade partner with pork. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to focus on getting our oversupply to them, and then they can help fill the gap to China or to Great Britain. You know, if Great Britain is filling the need into China, you know, they're where their product was going before, the U.S. can backfill into those markets. And I think that's what we need to be working on going forward. One thing to mention, too, the North Carolina packing plants in the last few months have mm-hmm. kind of remodeled a little bit in order to send whole carcass. They're going to harvest whole carcasses
right.
and send them over to China.
Yep.
So I think that's really good for the marketplace. You know, if we can be kind of getting that value-added product. You know, we want to take the bellies out, take the loins out here in the U.S., drive the value here at home, and then ship the rest of that product overseas to where they got a lot more demand for it, and they're using the whole product.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well fill the ships up and
sure.
get them everything they want. They got the supply, the labor force over there to distribute it around their country as they need it, and you know, we definitely have the capacity and the shackle spaces at this point mm-hmm. to fill their need. You know, hopefully they will come to us. But like I said, I want to reiterate that the USMCA is probably the most important thing we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our neighbors and our friends and allies close by and keep the pedal forward there.
All right. I would tend to agree. Quentin, well, looks like we're going to come up short on time here. We got a little bit of time yet, so don't be nervous. But what are your thoughts on feed right now? I'm looking at front corn here up about 15 cents right now on the day. Are you concerned about higher corn prices leading to higher feed prices for you?
Oh, I don't know, because, you know, I also, row cropping is a big part of my operation too. So, more the soybean meal is a cost I try to control. I pretty much feed my own corn.
Okay.
But, you know, like the report we had last Friday, I myself don't mind the volatility. I asked my broker that earlier this week. I said, well, isn't this more fun than the past couple of years where the market just doesn't move?
Right, right. Well, they say from volatility, opportunity will come. Quentin Bowen from Nebraska, that's a terrific terrific thought there. Randy Francis from Iowa and Quentin Bowen are my guests here on the Farmer Forum. We've got a couple of more questions. I want to dig into just a little bit more on the trade issues and what's on their minds as we head into July 4th.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, the handsome newsman behind the leafy green microphone, in for the vacationing Chip Flory today. We've got our Farmer Forum running hot today. Quentin Bowen from Nebraska and Randy Francis. Now, I don't want to wax too political here, okay? And maybe if we can set aside USMCA for just a moment. Quentin, let me start with you. As a pork producer and a grain producer, now you did mention you walk that corn off the farm and those delicious Berkshire hogs. There have been mixed reactions to Trump's trade strategy with China, and I feel like the pork producer is in a unique position. You already talked about pig's feet backing up as a result, but just give us your thoughts on Trump's trade strategy with China. Some would say this is something that's needed to be done. Some have said, well, you don't swing a stick at the hornet's nest. Where do you fall in that spectrum, sir?
Can Randy go first?
Sure.
No,
Randy.
I won't put him. I don't know. I mean, he's shaken everything up. Trump has. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Nobody knows how to take him. The Democrats didn't know how. Right. His own party didn't. And in hindsight, I think it would look like it would have been nice to have some sort of pact with, he backed right out. He was president of the TTP or TPP?
TPP,
or whatever, yep. Yes. By us going alone against China, we've really mm-hmm. opened up the markets for a lot of other countries. Mm-hmm. And once you do business with somebody, you don't change unless you have to. So I feel like whether we get a trade agreement or not, we've got gobs of work to do to get our markets back to where to move the product like they were. And I personally think that just tariffs are the new norm for the foreseeable future. I don't think they'll, I have no hope of them coming off anytime soon.
Okay. Period. Randy Francis, your thoughts, rugged individualism gone awry here?
Oh, yeah, I think Quentin went the right direction with that. With the TPP, I think it would have been nice to have a group of countries that would have went after China together, mm-hmm. Similar to the World WTO as well. I guess I just hope that Trump has a plan in place and, things are coming together as he hoped. I think there's been twists and turns along the way, but it appears that he's stayed strong to what he's wanted to do, and they've met two or three times, and just when you seem to get a deal, they kind of back off, and then maybe we try to come back to them with a deal, and then we back off a little bit. So I guess I hope at the end of the day the countries are still talking. I guess my other hope is, as we have softened prices on commodities a little bit, we've been able to reach out to other markets to show bargain and value of U.S. Products.
Then
in return, then if China does come back, even if they're not coming back at a level they were prior to trade disturbance, mm-hmm. that overall our portfolio looks better on a global sector than it does currently. So
right.
Whether
right.
he's taking the right approach or not, I guess we just have to embrace it and hope that, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and it's just not the 2020 election.
Right, right.
That we can, you know, as an agriculture, stand behind our president and hope that we have good results from it.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for that. Well, let me switch gears real quickly. Quentin, both of you have mentioned your crops are doing okay, but there's been some talk that there are farmers who are saying, you know what, heck with this. I'm not spending any more money on this crop, but there is a significant risk of disease pressure on some of these later planted crops, later slow to develop crops. Quentin, are you hearing anything from farmers in your area about, you know, deciding to say, look, I'm going to minimize expense on this and just be past it and be done with it?
Other than my family's own daily talks, not mm-hmm. really.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of talk about where we want to limit stuff, but there's been a lot of urea flown on in the area, you know,
okay.
just because of the amount of rain we've had. That
right.
Some corn looks a little yellow, but, you know, just these nitrogen models and stuff show that guys are wanting to stay on top of their nitrogen needs. And
okay.
we've also kind of had some problems in the soybeans, guys have, with mm-hmm. the thistle caterpillar defoliating a lot of soybeans. So there's been some pesticides applied to try to knock those back because we've been way above thresholds with this first wave of them anyway. They say they come mm-hmm. in two waves. So
okay.
we'll see what the next one brings.
Yikes. All right. Randy, nitrogen, insecticides, mm-hmm. what do we got going over in your area?
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of prioritize and which fields look like they have the best potential at this point and maybe drop a little more nitrogen on those ones. And then I think we'll kind of stick to our normal fungicide plan. And just like Margie said at the top of the show, you know, I think the disease triangle is there and we have a mm-hmm. pretty significant opportunity to minimize some disease pressure with a fungicide pass. While we might be pushing the crop a little bit later into the season by doing so, you know, we've really shown good results of fungicide application in our operation. So I think we're going to stick to the plan. And at the end of the day, you know, our goal is to produce more bushels because we are feeding the bushels to our pigs. So mm-hmm. the more corn we can produce, the lower input costs we'll have in walking that delicious bacon off on the farm. So.
Right, right. You bet. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up here. Quentin, I got to know, tomorrow is Independence Day. You going to be out grilling?
Yeah, some of that Berkshire pork or whatever my wife tells me to grill.
Outstanding. That sounds delicious. Randy Francis, how about you? What's on the menu for your tomorrow?
I think we'll support all industries. I'll probably have some beef and pork and light the grill up and sit by the water and probably support the corn distillery industry as well.
Liquid corn never hurt, did it? Randy Francis from Iowa, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Quentin Bowen, I appreciate it. And hey, thanks for the package from a few weeks ago. We really appreciated that.
My pleasure.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.